This is the Dream Freedom Beauty Podcast, and I am your hostess, Natalie Ross. This week's guest is Lindsay Mack of Wild Soul Healing and of the podcast Terror for the Wild Soul, which I hope you will listen to if you haven't already, because you will totally love it. And in this episode, Lindsay shares about a recent tarot card tower type experience she has had and how that has shaken her to her core and given her some space for reevaluation of what really matters in her life. And we talk about her experience and about tower type of experiences in general. And in this episode, I also receive some clarity around what topics to focus on with Dream Freedom Beauty in the coming months. So listen on to find out what that is. And my dears, there has been so much talk all over the place about self-care. And if you don't already know, I too have been participating in this talk through producing a new podcast called The Self-Care Club, which takes people a little bit deeper and a little bit further, or a lot bit further, talking about self-care than just baths and facial masks. And I have had my own intense self-care journey, and I wanted to know what self-care really meant for other people in this community. And there's many of your favorite Dream Freedom Beauty guests over there on The Self-Care Club who I'm interviewed. And you can listen to all that for free. Go check it out. Just search Self-Care Club in your podcast app and hit subscribe and share it with a friend. If there is one thing I would ask of every single one of you, it is please, every episode that you love, that you feel really touched you, that I have made either from Dream Freedom Beauty or Self-Care Club or both, share it with a friend. That would be the biggest gift you can give me right now, is sharing this with a friend who would also resonate with the material that we're talking about here. Someone who would be deeply nourished by these offerings. And thank you. But I want to talk a little more about self-care, because self-care is free. And it's something that only you can give yourself. It's not something you can buy. It's not found in stores. It's not found through another person. It's you. It's you, and it's free, and it's you have to do the work to give yourself the self-care you need. And one example I like to share is self-care is like learning to make choices that are aligned with how you honestly feel or about what you truly desire and not about what others think you should be. And that level of honesty with yourself and that level of trust and bravery in making choices aligned with your truth is a very deep form of self-care. So with that said, community and socializing has also been a really amazing form of self-care for me, in that I was so lonely. And once I started to be honest with myself, I was able to reach out to other people like me who I could connect with deeply about the topics that I love talking about. And that's actually how Dream Freedom Beauty was born. So community and socializing has been a huge part of this. And I want to encourage you to create connections and community and social connections, have a social life in real life, like connect with people in real life. That's the utmost importance. But I also can't deny the power of the internet to connect us. And that's why I've been inspired to create an online monthly gathering called the Self-Care Club Community, where we will gather live online every month with a special guest to have a workshop or have a discussion or do whatever the community is calling for and address that deep need for connection and learning and just being seen and seeing and hearing others, being present and learning what that means. And so this is the Self-Care Club. So the podcast of the Self-Care Club is out there. It's free to everyone. And then there will be this community that you can join if you want to hang out with others and really go a little deeper and connect a little more. And I hope that this Self-Care Club will not only be nourishing in itself, of course, but it will also help you all get some learning and get the templates of how do you connect with people that you really enjoy connecting with, and so you can take that into your actual physical everyday life and apply what you learn there to create these communities and connections and social life in your real life. That's just so key. I love the internet and I want to help people connect over the internet, and I also want to help you take what you learn there and connect in real life. So once again, self-care is free, but this is something that I feel really called to offer is a space for us to connect in community. So if you're feeling called to that, I invite you. If not, it's all good. Go check out the Self-Care Club podcast. It's free. Check it out. You'll love it. And share it with a friend. That would be my utmost greatest wish and request of you right now, is share these episodes with friends who will resonate with them. Thank you. Thank you. And if you want to know more about the Self-Care Club community and how to join, then hop on one of my mailing lists, either the Dream Freedom Beauty list. You can go there from dreamfreedombeauty.com/secret and you'll be on that list. Or go to selfcareclub.net, that's .net, and sign up there. Either way, you will be notified when the doors open in a few short weeks. All right, my loves, I will tell you more later. Until then, enjoy this episode, and so many blessings to you all on this first recorded episode of 2018. Welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show, Lindsay. So awesome to talk with you today.
Oh, so happy to be back. This is my favorite podcast to be on. I love it.
That's so fun. Thank you. I love having you. So the love is mutual. And for folks who aren't familiar with Lindsay Mack, she is the founder of Wild Soul Healing and Tarot for the Wild Soul. She is an intuitive healer, a holistic counselor, and a tarot reader based in Brooklyn, New York. She offers and facilitates soul tarot readings, intuitive and spiritual coaching, mentorship, and tarot trainings for those who desire to heal, evolve, and live fully on their true soul path. She is the creator of Soul Tarot, a way of interpreting, understanding, and intentionally utilizing the tarot as wild medicine for our soul's growth and evolution. She is the host of the podcast Tarot for the Wild Soul, which I love. And her work with the tarot has been featured in the New York Times, the Huffington Post, Well and Good, Nylon Magazine, and Free Native, to name a few. And we'll make sure to mention at the end, again, what your podcast name is and how people can listen, because it's a super nourishing show that I think many, if not all, Dream Freedom Beauty listeners would love to hear.
Thank you. And I'm honored to hear that, especially from you. Thank you.
Thank you. And just a note before we get started, we were originally going to do this as a Self-Care Club podcast episode, but what unfolded just became clear that this was something to share sort of in the vein of Self-Care Club, but to go a little deeper and a little bit outside of the box that I've created with Self-Care Club. It is a box. It's a lovely box. I love the box. But this Dream Freedom Beauty space allows us to expand a little bit outwards and go a little bit deeper. So we're going to just kind of transition that format into this space and roll with it. And before we get started, Lindsay, do you want to lead us into an invocation, a sacred space, whatever you want to bring up?
Absolutely.
All right, go for it.
So just calling on our energies wherever we may be listening to this podcast, even if it's years in the future, calling us into the body, into the heart space, inviting you to do a scan just to check to see where everything is, how you're feeling today, honoring the noises around you, like this beautiful siren that we hear in the distance, and calling upon guides of light, energies of light, protectors, archetypes, ancestors that are here to be of service, and sending out a prayer that anyone who may need to listen to this podcast for wisdom and nourishment and for mirroring, may it come to them in whatever way it's meant. And may everyone listening to this be blessed, and may you just take and allow this moment to be an acknowledgement of your heart and how you are at this moment in this circle of light and support. And so it is.
Beautiful. And as you were saying that, I was really feeling one of my favorite invocations and ways to be aligned is to be as the hollow bone, to allow whatever yes. needs to come through to come through, and so that we may be the vessels for this. And,
yeah.
So, Lindsay, the first question I ask people in Self Care Club is what's been on your mind, what's been catching your attention lately. So I'm going to ask you that. Let's see. I want to hear what you got.
Yeah. So I feel like I should also say to the listeners, like, if you don't mind, like part of the shift, part of the shift that came from you suggesting that we do a Dream Freedom Beauty is that I, before we went into the recording, have been going through some pretty serious health issues, and know that you're a woman to go down into that flow. But I knew we also only had like a half hour and wanted to just gauge with you, like, are you cool with us? Yeah, I think I can be pretty succinct about it, but are you okay? And then things flowed from there. But what's been on my mind lately is that I've received kind of a really bizarre and really shocking health diagnosis that I've played in the pool with before. When I was 19, I had some experiences with this general diagnosis, but not quite as acutely as this. So what's on my mind as of right now has been literally doing the work and embracing death. I'm not dying as much as anyone else is, but it's just been very powerful. So I was diagnosed and was made aware of the fact that I have what is called a fusiform brain aneurysm behind, in the back of the left-hand part of my brain. And it is probably congenital, so I've probably had it my whole life. And it is apparently in a part of my brain that is not operable. So I've got it.
until, for better or for worse.
Yeah, until like I don't, one way or another.
Can you share, just before we go further, can you just kind of define an aneurysm for anyone who's not familiar?
Sure. So a lot of people think of a brain aneurysm as being when you hear about someone who's had a brain aneurysm, like a lot of the time they've died. Or but a brain aneurysm is, you want to imagine kind of a tube, this sort of and that's your blood vessel or your capillary, or sorry, your blood vessel. And you want to imagine a thin straight tube, 90 degrees, or rather just a straight line. And then in the middle of this tube, there's just a bubble. And so that's an aneurysm, when for one reason or another, the side of a blood vessel wall begins to bulge, and it's at extreme risk for rupture, which can kill you, or it can give you a stroke. So it's very serious. And there, you can get in there and you can seal it. But again, I guess I have mine in a part of the brain that can't really be accessed without causing some pretty serious, it's a pretty sensitive part of the brain. So there's really no getting in there for a prophylactic measure. But yeah, that's what's been going on. And on a scale of small to extra large, it's medium size, so that's a good thing. But how it has come into my life has been very powerful. Like the medicine story of how I received this diagnosis has been really powerful. And I got a phone call on the 28th
December.
Yeah, and since the 28th, my whole life is different. Like, not even in a surf, like in a very deep way. And the biggest way that this has changed me is that once I got out of complete frozen terror, that like any feeling I had in the head was like I was ready to die. It has really given me a freedom and a clarity that I don't know that I've ever had. Certainly not in my adult life. So.
Okay. So that's where I want to dig into especially. And, you know, you mentioned to me before we hit record that this has really shifted your approach to self-care. It's really
shifted.
I mean, it's really turned your life upside down and all around.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if, I don't know, maybe other people have this question, but being that you are a tarot reader, did you have indications that something like this was maybe going to show up?
Yeah. So the truth is that this aneurysm and I have been walking hand in hand from my whole life. And I believe that I'm now in a position with my mental health and with my physical health to like look it squarely in the eye, because I have always known beyond paranoia that there was something going on. And, you know, you jump to cancer, you jump like whatever, but it was a knowing. I didn't know that it was an aneurysm, but there was something. And
so you always felt like, there's just something I don't know about that's happening and affecting me. Okay.
Yeah. But with regard to and I knew that there was something wrong with my body for the last few months. I couldn't figure out what, but I knew that there was something very seriously wrong, but I wasn't getting any answers anywhere, which is for anyone who does intuitive work is like a part of it sometimes. Uh-huh. Like you just don't get answers, but I will say this and this, please, anyone who works with the tarot, like I encourage you to like let my story that I'm about to share like flow right through your spinal cord like water. I promise you that this isn't what happens when you pull this card. However, what I will say is that part of when you have a brain aneurysm, you have all kinds of symptoms with having a brain aneurysm that you could never feel, but sometimes you do feel them. And I won't mention them because I feel like it will make people paranoid.
this isn't WebMD over here.
Yeah, this is not WebMD. But I just like nervous system. I like to be respectful. But it's nothing frightening. It's just like headaches and certain things like that.
Yeah.
And in fact, the thing that tipped me off to the fact that I had this is that my eyelid started to droop. So there's some interesting issues that come along with it. But I had gotten like a stiff neck. I've been dealing with a stiff neck, and I've since found out that's a huge not sign that you have one, but if you have one, it can create that issue, and it can have nothing to do with rupture at all. It just is. But I share that because I went to my deck. This is now about 3 weeks ago, and my neck was so stiff that I couldn't like move it. It would. I just assumed like I'd fucked it up while I was sleeping, and I dropped in, and it was very light. And I was like, what is the deal with my neck? And I pulled the tower.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was like, oh. And then I pulled Justice. And then I pulled the Fool. And then I pulled the Lovers. And I was like, oh, okay. All right. And it was very disturbing, even for me, because I just didn't have all the pieces yet, but knew that something was going on. And indeed, this has been complete tower. I'm living it. But I can share that I've lived in tower many times and just as intense as something like this. And there really is a clarity that comes after like the smoke has cleared. That's like the most amazing thing, because you begin to lose everything that your ego never would have let you drop unless like life handed you something. So I didn't know what it was. And in fact, maybe we'll get into this, maybe we won't, but part of an element of this was like, you know, I had something like this come up when I was 19. Like I had, and I just completely like blocked it out.
Like,
not really. Like I knew I'd had it, but there was a lot that came back mm-hmm. as well as came forward that was really just very powerful. It was a big soul retrieval. But yeah, I didn't know what it was, but I knew something was going on.
Yeah, and when you described it, it made me think of Tower. So I love that you actually pulled the Tower.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely pulled no punches with me. Right on through, yeah.
So what, well, I'm just considering where to take this because I want to get a snapshot of what self-care was kind of before this and how it's shifted you. And then I want to go a little deeper into how it's really shifted you, like overall, you know, not just in relation to self-care.
Of course. So I'll be totally honest because, I mean, I have no fucking reason not to be, certainly not now. There was no self-care really before this. Yeah, I was working and busy. And my self-care was like TV, which I love, and facials every now and again, which I also love. But breaths, space, presence, time, deep eye contact with my partner, no way. Wow. Had not been, yeah. Again, I give no fucks. Like, you know, like, I'm so happy to share that because, like, it's a complete myth that people who do this work don't get tip over, you know, into forgetting that they need that. Like, I didn't even have a fucking altar for the last few months. Like, I mean, my whole room is an altar, but not a space that's my own.
Yeah.
That I sat at, you know, and, but I didn't, at the time, I wasn't trying to hide any of that. I just kept thinking like, well, this is what it is right now. Like, I'm busy. Things are abundant. They're beautiful. And like, people are here. I want to serve them. Like, it was just, not, I like lost that. I really just lost it slowly but surely. My connection to true self-care, like constantly on my phone, like, but again, like you get, I'm sure you can, you may not identify with this because you may have a very, very, very strong, like completely unbreakable self-care practice, but
no.
Well, then you understand, like it's very easy because I love my work.
Yeah, exactly.
I love my work. And the most powerful part of this aneurysm actually has been like, do not stop working.
Yeah. Wow.
Do not. In fact, 2 fucking days after I figured out this, I went to Kripalu to co-lead a 5-day retreat. And that was really where I found the most sense of this. I was like, oh yeah, there's no guarantee in this. Like, I forgot. Like, I completely forgotten how beautiful for this health, for my body, to constantly be the compass to come back home. And it's too bad that it took this. But, I mean, that's going into another direction. But I really didn't have self-care. Like, I had, like, the things, you know, like, I took baths and I saged and cleansed and all that. But, like,
but deep time, self-care.
Mm-hmm. Space, like, actual quality. I haven't had that in a really long time. And obviously it was unacceptable. But now I feel like, you know, I'm not, well, I suppose you could make the argument everyone is dying, but
we're also living.
We're also, yeah, we're also living. And I'll tell you that when I found out that this was all happening and that it was knocking around in my head, like I could feel it, once I got past the very real terror and panic about what to do, because there really isn't anything to do,
right,
other than to like radically shift my diet and change the way I approach and deal with stress, you know, and busyness, which has been checked off the list like immediately. I'm learning now. I feel like every day with the mind of a kid, like why? I'm getting it, there's a lot of curiosity, but the self-care piece feels much more reachable and powerful, and I'm working on all of the stuff that is very real in me that is very frightened of self-care, that still is afraid to stand still. It's the trauma, you know, it's just PTSD. Like, it's still afraid to like stop and receive, and like how humbling.
Totally, you know, totally.
How easy it is for me to think that other people can do it.
So Lindsay, you just said something that I'm just, oh, I love it. I love it because you, first of all, I want to just honor your willingness to share honestly that you really had kind of drifted away from any kind of deep rooted self-care. It sounds like you got swept up in the flow of doing what you love. And that's like the best way to forget your self-care practices, because totally. You're doing so much of what you love versus being dragged under by.
100%.
Yeah. But still, it's funny how even when you're doing what you love, you still need that self-care. And you mentioned that you're being forced to face the places you're afraid to give yourself that self-care, to practice that stillness or go in that space. What's that all about? Can you take us a little bit deeper into that?
Totally. I mean, I think that, you know, as I mentioned, or at least intended to mention, you know, everyone listening to this probably knows that trauma and PTSD, really, we heal that in a spiral, and like everything else. But I think that this is just another layer of shrapnel that's getting cleared out. Like, it's not safe to relax. It's not safe to take space. It's not safe to take time. It's not safe to, you know, if I let my guard down, X might happen.
Right.
That's never in my forefront, but it's always, I now understand running, it is running in the background all the time.
And I'll admit too, that's 100% me too. And that's, you know, I know so many listeners, if they take a pause and check in, they'll probably find the same thing.
Yeah.
The same fear.
Go ahead.
Oh, just that fear of, if I step away from this, then that'll happen. If I give myself this, then that'll happen. Like, I mean, my fears go all the way to the point of like, I'll be abandoned and hated by everybody. Like,
totally. Me too.
You know?
Yeah. Or something will happen while I'm not paying attention, and it's the exact story that, not to like psychoanalyze myself, but I can recognize this as the exact story that played out for me every day in my life growing up, which was like, I'd go to school and my grandmother would pick me up, and the first question I would ask was like, how's mom today? I never knew how she'd be. And that got created in my head with like Instagram even. Like, I was like, oh, if I'm not monitoring a little bit, like something could happen. And it could be like out of the realm of my, it was very interesting. Like, again, never consciously, but once I figured it out, like the one thing that I will say, because the depths and the darkness that washed over me when this news first hit me is probably like the deepest I've ever gone with anything. Like,
I mean,
just the
faced
level,
your own mortality.
Like, yeah. And I'm doing it. Yeah. Like, and I'm honestly doing it every day, because there's no guarantee about this at all.
Yeah.
Like, there, it is legit. It will never go away. And it is something that is literally in my brain for the rest of my natural life. It may be that part of my natural life is in response to something that happens with it. And I'm really learning not to be in resistance to that, because I'm not doing a great job all the time, but there's something about having like looked in that mirror even a little bit, that has just made me not care about what I used to really care about. I just don't care. And I care a lot more about the things that I was like, oh, there's plenty of time for that. There's no big deal. Like, you know, like presence with my partner, making sure we have time, or really looking at my life and my schedule and thinking like, you know, what exactly am I doing this for? If this is, you know, if I'm finding that I'm really tired, or if I'm not really desiring to have my body be sitting in one position for 6 hours, as honored as I am to see a lot of one-on-one people, there are so many more people like who are hungry and their bodies do want to sit down and serve. And I'm not saying that if I stop, other people will automatically have those clients, but it's just all kind of, it cuts through things real quick.
Yes.
and the self-care, like if you look up, you know, having an aneurysm, like there's nothing you can do really other than to get a stent. And basically the only thing you can control about it is to try to keep your stressful emotions, which isn't to say emotions, but like, you know, just, emotional experiences, I am guessing, that create inflammation and tension, which is a lot like what we've got with this. Mm-hmm. So, and basically your diet, and even then you're guaranteed nothing. So it's exactly the same as living life without one. It just makes things so clear. And there's also something very powerful too. Like my grandfather, who was a doctor and a very brilliant one and a very, very clear intuitive, although he would not have called himself that, died of a brain tumor.
Wow.
And his mother, who was strongly anxious and very intuitive, died of Alzheimer's. So there's something with the brain in my ancestry that has always been very feared, like what it could do to you. And I'm just really finding so much some of the deepest intimacy I've ever known in being like, what gifts does this have to offer me? Because thus far, it's offered me clarity and it's offered me actual presence and joy. It's offered me the ability to be like, I don't care about this.
Freedom.
Like like really. And when I forget, it's really easy to remember. Because it's like right there, you know? Really easy for me to say, like, if this was my last moment on earth, would I be really down with, you know, would I really be afraid of what I had to say? Or it's also helping me see the tarot in, you know, that's always my little partner in crime. So it's always helping me to see more expansive ways of being with myself and with it. And I'm by no means like all fucking enlightened about it, but it has been it has been very humbling and really clarifying. And in some ways I feel like my intuition is some of the strongest like it's ever been. So it's been pretty interesting. Yeah.
Okay, I'm hearing a lot here and I just want to reflect some back and repeat some things and ask some questions, all the above. At first, before we do any of this, is I want to know, you know, you mentioned you're not all enlightened about this. So, you know, can you just share, have there been the like tears and denial and grief and rage, or, you know, has there been any of that in the space? Because it's been a really short amount of time since you got this diagnosis.
Yeah, of course. Like 100%. It's been mostly that, actually. But with these flashes of clarity that are really hard to ignore, you know?
Yeah.
My initial experience was shock and was the dismissal of the fact that it was just like more of what I thought that I'd had as a teenager. And slowly but surely, it became very clear that it was not that, that it was a lot more serious and a lot more expanded and more confronting than it had been, and that the doctor had seen me as a teenager was incorrect because he had thought that it would just go away.
Yeah.
Because it was related to circumstantial things. And even when I was in denial, I couldn't help but remember that I had never had any symptoms as a teenager, and I was having symptoms. I was having really severe headaches and really severe headaches on one side and like all these different things that were difficult to ignore. And were so it started with denial and then expanded out into panic. Mm. Like it was just panic. And what, just not, yeah.
In the panic, you know, if you can just kind of like slow it down and tease it out, kind of like give it some space and spread it out, can you see what was the like cause of panic or the question or the fear in that? Like, what was...
I didn't want to die.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't want to die. And I didn't want to have a stroke. Mm. And I didn't want to leave my husband. And I didn't want him to be left without me. And there were all sorts of other intense panic, intense spots of panic within that. Like, I was worried that, like, maybe I shouldn't be driving. Mm. You know, maybe, yeah, I shouldn't be flying. Maybe, like, you know, is there something going on with this that's so serious that, and then I couldn't like get a hold. Like I have to follow up with neurosurgeons for the rest of my life, but couldn't get anyone. And I went all the way back to New Jersey to get my old scans, and it didn't have, like, it had information, but it had none of the information that we were looking for. Uh-huh. So it was just kind of like not getting answers, mm-hmm, but totally existential dread and panic and fear that I wasn't going to be okay. And my blood family, I'm not particularly close with, but they are fine enough people that everyone is very compassionate, but they're also panickers. And so I didn't really get the, nothing was mirroring me that was like, everything's fine. Mm-hmm. Everything's fine. It was just like me and my husband, who was also frozen in panic.
Yeah.
Because he didn't know what was going on. My teacher, who's, you know, my mentor, also has like a deep rooted past with brain injuries. So I don't have a brain injury, but she's had brain injury, and she is so enlightened about it, is so at peace with death, that she wasn't even really a help, actually, because we got on the phone and she was just like, yeah, I mean, if you die. And I was like, I can't hear that. Like, yeah. I'm not fucking ready to hear that at all. I don't want to. Like, I was really like fighting. But she said something to me that was extremely powerful, which she was like, you know, this aneurysm is not here to kill you. It's here to help you from killing yourself. It's here to help you get clear about how you would treat your body if left unchecked. And she's right.
Wow.
And, you know, I understand that. And that's, by the way, alert, not true for everybody. Absolutely not. Like, mm-hmm, I would never say that somebody who had a diagnosis of ALS or cancer, like, I mean, you can honor that and take that for what you will. I'll just speak from my experience that really rang true to me. And the thing that allowed me to fast track this, to be able to even talk about it in this way, is that basically 2 days after I found out about this, 3 days, I was in a car on my way to Kripalu, basically being like, well, we'll see, you know, like, and was surrounded by people who were able to hold a space for me to be able to be like, how beautiful of an opportunity is this? how beautiful that you're here. And there was so much laughter medicine at Kripalu that I was able to get some space around it and really feel into the fact that it really, truly, I can feel that it has always been here. It's always been here to help me get clear, to not do certain things, to not proceed on certain, like, it's definitely the reason why, like, I've never fucked around with drugs. It's definitely, like, I just have always had a knowing, like, don't do that. Wow. You know? Yeah, so I'm not saying, again, I'm enlightened about it all, but I am at this moment very much at peace with, like, it's like I got snapped awake and remembered. Like, there's no guarantee. None of us knows when and where our time will be. And I'm also not really, I mean, again, like, this could all change tomorrow, but I'm not really living in a way anymore that, like, I don't have any control. So I would much rather sink into the blessings of a presently lived life than not. But of course, there was massive panic about it. Massive. But I think the thing to remember is, like, I knew something was wrong for weeks. Like, yeah. I knew something was wrong for months. In fact, I was going to open a space in Brooklyn, in East Williamsburg in September, and was like, I can't do that. Like, I know that something's going on. I don't know what it is, but, like, if I am, I felt very stretched with my regular routine, and I was starting to notice, like, I'm a person who can see, like, easy, truly, like, 7 people in a day. It's a lot, but I can do it. And
yeah, I would never be able to do that.
And that's it's ridiculous. Like, it's ridiculous. It's not a point of pride that I could see 7 people in a day. But, like we think that because of, like, American culture, you know, and I once was proud of that, but I don't know that it's anything to be proud of. But, like, I started to notice, like, after the 3rd person, I was like, I'm finished. Like, there was just this real gentle, like, all done. And I'd have, like, 1 poor person, 2 more people, and kind of be like, ooh, like, what's going on? And it just all has been serving to slow me down, slow me down, slow me down. And from there, I don't know what will come, because already so much clarity and beauty has come from this that I don't know really what the function of it is for. Like, I don't know where, every time I know that I slow down, something drops in that's really, really powerful. Like, that's happened with my online course. It happened with Sacred Wheel, my new offering. It's happened with pretty much everything that I've done that I've been extremely proud of and has been a boon in my life. But I don't have really, like, other than a couple of things, like, I don't, I'm just really being led by mystery right now. But yeah, like, oh my God. And, you know, talk to me after I have my appointment with the neurosurgeon and like, have to talk about all this shit with a medical person and not with people who really understand what it is to value the spiral experience of the physical body moving through, like, starting to consider its own mortality. Like, that's not the conversation I expect to have with a neurosurgeon.
So, like, how cool would it be if that's something they brought to the table? Wow.
You know, I got to tell you something.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something right now. I've been trying to get in touch with these neurosurgeons, and no one is returning my call, which is shocking, because I have a referral and, like, am a candidate for someone to get their fucking asses back to me. But this morning I was talking, like, because my doctor was basically like, see a neurosurgeon, like, see one. And so my husband and I were having coffee today, and I was like, I wonder, like, if it's just the kind of doctor I'm supposed to see. So we'll see, you know, I don't know. But, yeah, it's been very powerful, very powerful. But yeah, so much panic. I would never skirt over that. But I do think that going for a 5-day retreat with, like, one of your best friends who you laugh with, like, in the room and, like, have fun with while you're getting the honor of teaching these people who are completely available to go there into the darkness with you will fast track things. And that was totally by design, you know. I have no doubt.
Yes, what a portal. So all these stages and emotions have been coming up, but then something that's such a tower hallmark is that clarity that comes. And you've mentioned some things about it's like going down that spiral, and this is just another layer of shrapnel coming out and all of these things. But that clarity that comes, like, what are some of the things that were blocking that clarity, or that were taking up the space of your clarity, that have been now swept away?
I think that's such a great question. And I wonder if I can answer it succinctly, but...
Nah, don't worry about being succinct.
Okay. It's beautiful permission. I guess, like, the same thing that ever... Like, the ego. Like, you just forget, like, you're perishable. Like, you forget. You really do. And that... I think is at the heart of it. That's truly like the bone, the marrow of the bone, is that as a human being, I just kind of forgot, I would say like the ego's idea of success, because I've been going through a huge, like this year has been already without this, addition, like already things have completely changed for me, because in ways that I don't even know that I could articulate verbally yet, like because it's been like a showdown in my life, very internally, like, are you going to honor the emperor way or the hermit way? Because that's a question for me in this lifetime. Is that I'm an Aries, but I'm also a Virgo rising. And I'm an Aries, but I'm a sun sign in eighth house. And I have a Leo moon, but it's in the Aquarius house. And so there's always these questions of wanting to expand and with joy, like expand and serve. And like, I think I...
And you're good at it.
Thank you. And I like it, I think I just kind of forgot or didn't really honor or didn't have the fire under my feet to honor that I'm not, as much as I have a, sometimes have a propensity to do things I won't even say a masculine way as in male, but a yang way.
Right.
As much as because I have it in me to power through starvation and headaches and like read and but that's not me, and it's never been me. I've always been like a little flower, like with regard to the nervous system. It's been like I'm a badass, but it's been I don't really do well with that.
Where's the powering through really getting you?
Exactly, nowhere.
Burnout.
I think that it was just covering over, like, I think that anyone, if you read any story about anyone who's brushed any part of their physical existence with a sense of their own mortality, if they've had a near-death experience or, you know, they've worked through cancer, you know, whatever it is, or they find out that, you know, there is something with their body that is, you know, they really can't. There really isn't anything to do. It's just sort of like you're hanging out with it for your life. That everything just gets extremely clear, because you do think like, well, if I didn't wake up tomorrow, would I be really happy with how I chose to spend this day?
Well, I gotta be cheeky here. If you didn't wake up tomorrow, you'd be dead. So could you even care?
That's what I mean. But that's what I mean. Like, if I
if you knew you were not going to wake up tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because I know after death, there's freedom. Like there's immense, like I will, everyone who passes is, they're doing great.
And you know, what? Like, and I don't know about you, but I, you know, there's that existential dread of facing your mortality, but there's also, I long to die sometimes. I'm just so ready to have that, that relief.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, you know, I'm really stoked to be here right now, having like, you know, really, I think gotten to a point where I wasn't sure what was going on or what would happen or what was happening, because there was a long time, like into November and December, like where I was like, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
And I don't know what is going on, but there's something really wrong with me. Like I knew. And, I do think like once you get past the initial, there's just so many layers to it. I think it's just the human stuff that we have. That's like, yeah, I have these goals and these plans and these dreams and blah, 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 blah. And you're not really stopping to think like, well, is that really where my soul is calling me?
Okay, and that is what I think self-care is then, the purpose of. I want you to keep going with what you're saying, but I just had to just say, like, that's the whole point for me of self-care, is that pause and check.
And I love that you said that, because there were many times, even in the last 3 years, that I just didn't pay any attention to that. Like, I didn't even pause to consider. I was just like, this is great. Because for so long, I've been someone who's really valued lessons and contrast. So if I went about something and it was miserable, mm-hmm. it always taught me so much.
Right.
But I never even thought, like, I was getting to these places where it was really a fork in the road for this year. Like I was going to, again, like open a store and all the stuff that I was still, I'm pretty passionate about my vision for it, but it obviously, the way I was going about it, it was not quite the time. So yeah, I think the self-care piece has just opened up the door for so much more trust and space and peace and like clarity. There's just like no more room for there's just so much more clarity, you know?
Mm-hmm. And you were saying before I jumped in that you're talking about the like human stuff and just how you weren't taking that pause to check in. You want to finish that thought if it's still hanging out?
No, I mean, I think I covered it. Like, I think the answer to your initial question was really just like, I think the human stuff that we just forget that we forget that we have it. We forget,
right?
You know, and then we get these crazy reminders. But then there's a real power to being able to look at it and see and be moved by it in a different way.
Right. And what I'm hearing in a lot, you know, kind of in different ways from you is that you're with this aneurysm for better, for worse, forever. Mm-hmm. This is it's your buddy now.
Yeah.
And so there's not really much you could do about it, mm-hmm. except for, you know, address your stress, which is mm-hmm. a nice side effect actually, because who wants to be stressed
it's
out?
It's totally great. Exactly.
And then to be centered in your response and be present with your response, it sounds like is, you know, that's your point of control. Like you're powerless to do anything about the thing, but what I hear you addressing what you do have power in and where your point of power is, instead of freaking out about how you're powerless.
Exactly. And that was the kind of shift that began to beget other choices. Like I have made decisions in the last 5 days that have completely altered the course of my year, that have been like a year in the making, that I've been like, I don't really want to do this anymore. I'm not really feeling called to this type of work right now, or this, you know, this person that I'm working with is so lovely, but I'm sort of teeny, teeny voice in the back of my head is saying like, we might be finished together, but neither one of us are safe. Like it just made things so fucking clear that it's, And you know, I think the amazing thing is that you begin to do this work and like you forget that you're mortal. Like I really want to say that. Like I think that our spiritual culture kind of like it's like everything is geared toward like chasing away death. And I've always kind of been attracted to death as this just really beautiful space. I've come close to death a few times in my life and have dealt with body things and have lived after I've wanted to die and have been blessed by the clarity and the gratitude that comes from it, but had never had an experience of my quite this acutely of my body being like, I will kill you if you don't start listening to me. And like, that's a lot for me to say because I'm working still with integrity and with ethics and in alignment. Like, you know, I didn't have to be so out of alignment to get that reminder. So I just think that it must be a deep part of the work or a deep part of just the way I'm meant to live, you know, which is amazing. But yeah, anyway, there's a real power to that, I think. And yeah, I hear you on the back and forth between really welcoming death and also being like, I'm not ready. I don't want to, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, as you're speaking, this is like the cosmic joke of life is constantly offering chances for a little humor. I'm hearing that self-care is checking in with both your mortality and with your divinity and just being with both of those point, that point of contraction and the end, and also that unlimitedness, that both of these infinite directions and really expanding into both of them.
Yeah. And also like, you know, after we get off of this, after we complete our conversation, I will go to the botanical gardens today.
Nice.
Because, like, I love the botanical gardens. And how often do we, as people, just not offer ourselves that? If we have this sense, like, oh, I'd really like bone broth today, or I'd really love to take a walk, or I'd really love a moment in the sunshine. And as extreme and as extravagant and as simple, there are times when we crave these things and we just don't do them.
Yeah.
And there's a real gift to radical self-care in the face of divinity and mortality that I think you just do things without giving a fuck because there really is something, again, there's no enlightenment that I have to this situation, but there is something that gets put into your body that is very hard. It's like a switch gets flipped and it can't really, I don't know that it can be unflipped. That's like today really legit is all we have. And all I've ever talked about is how like there is no future. There, like, tarot is only about the here and now. It's just a whole other level of living my truth that, I'm very grateful to start tasting and without really knowing or having any attachment like to where that could take me bodily and physically, and just trying to really have no resistance at all about where it goes.
Beautiful. I'm just letting that sort of sink in. I feel it like weaving through my own body.
Oh.
Yeah, I want to invite listeners to just take a breath too and just let everything we've just talked about move through them in whatever ways it needs to move. I love it. I love talking about death, so this is fun for me.
I'm really grateful that you do. I've been so grateful, like, I have to give a shout out to like one of my dearest friends, one of my best girlfriends, Jessica Goldfond, who like came with me to Kripalu and was pretty much the first person that I told this story to. And she was like, she was very deeply, you know, sympathetic and compassionate, but was basically like, hey man, like, you're going to be okay. Like, and how great that we're here together in this moment. And like, just like injected so much humor and levity, and gave my nervous system enough time to really get used to all of this. That I like, you know, maybe like it's basically 2 weeks after I figured out what's going on. But like months where I knew something was up, and really my whole life, you could say. But I feel very grateful to be able to talk about it, because I have always had a very strong opinion that I think that there's a lot of wisdom to be gained from the energetics and the medicine and the wisdom of injury and illness.
Yeah.
But I've always been very bristled at the idea that we're somehow causing these things because we're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
As though our bodies do not get sick and die, because they do.
We are always decaying.
We are always decaying. This is the youngest we'll ever be. You know? And so this, I feel like I feel clearer than like I ever have. Like, there's no part of me that senses that this aneurysm is because in any way the work that I'm doing in the world is like off of alignment or out of balance. It's the way that I have been honoring myself in conjunction with that service that has to change. And like, how lucky am I that it only came from some pretty severe headaches and a really clear diagnosis, at least I know. So it's, you know, amazing in a way, but, I'm grateful for the opportunity, especially on a podcast like this and with a person such as yourself, to be able to speak about it so openly, because I think it's important. Mm-hmm. And I think that there can be a lot of experiences of being ostracized because there is illness or injury, or because there is lack of clarity, or because of whatever. And I just like kind of refuse to be like in private with it. Like, I just don't think that there's anything wrong. But there's also real truth to it, which is that if I need to take a break with my work, or if I need extra time off, or if I can no longer continue to support or hold space in a certain way, or if I need to take a break from something, I feel very empowered to be like, my body's telling me I need a moment with this. So I'm going to take it. You know, and like,
deep permission.
I have deep permission, but you know, Natalie, that in the overculture of the work that we do, it's actually not as welcome and not as open.
Totally.
People are afraid.
And actually, I really was hoping we would get to this in our conversation. We kind of mentioned it before we recorded, and I didn't know if we'd have time. So do you have a few more minutes to
kind
of go there? Okay, good. Because I would love to unravel and explore more of these beliefs and assumptions that lead us to say that something you're doing created. And, you know, because there is like, we create our realities, and that's so true and it's so powerful. But then there's, you know, this assumption that if something quote bad happens to you, that you're somehow impure or doing it wrong, or like not worthy, or, you know, tarnished, or any amount of thing. And it can even go, you know, it's runs rampant throughout our society, just this kind of belief in general. But in this spiritual community, I think it puts a lot of illusions up about what matters and what's real and what spirituality even is. I mean, oh my gosh, I just want to hand it over to you and let you go there with it from whatever your point is, and I'll jump in.
Yeah. I mean, I think I agree that I think it's pretty lame, and it's pretty lame. And I think like, there's this unfortunate, you said it really perfectly. I don't know that I have all that much to add to it, believe it or not,
well,
because
you know
what you, yeah.
I'll get personal with it then.
Please.
All right.
I'm here for that.
Because it's so funny how I've unraveled this in myself over the past few years. Oh, wow. I'm like, how much time do we have now? But how to go to the heart of this, how to go to the heart of this. You see on Instagram, on TV, in magazines, everywhere, like beautiful skinny white girls who are drinking smoothies, and smoothies are great, and it's fine to be white, and it's fine to be skinny, it's fine to be a white girl drinking a smoothie on a beach, whatever, doing a yoga pose. But I feel like so much of that lookism and this ideal of like purity of your diet or your body, of your health, has kind of become the aim to like look that way or to be that pure body, which of course is spiritual. It is. It's just not the whole picture. And there is value in having a clean diet because it can help you be more attuned to what your guidance is. I mean, like, you know, all kinds of things can interfere with your guidance, but having that look or having that diet or having that, even like for me, I have, well, I'll get there in a second. Having those things doesn't make you better or more pure. Like purism, I'm just so over this idea of purity. And I think a lot of it is rooted in this avoidance of our mortality and death and of our humanness and of our earthiness.
And you know, I think people, I'm going to turn this right back on you because I want to hear what you have to say. But I think the most kind of like important thing that I think yes to all of that, first of all. And second of all, I think that people, it's very easy to forget because of these overcultural narratives and because of these overcultural stereotypes about what is the attainable in the spiritual community. People, especially anyone who has a desire to hold space for others, people forget, like, if you are of service, teaching, leading, doing anything that is of service to other people, you really can't help them unless you are willing to walk down your own path in your own life. And it's very hard, and I imagine it would be very hard for me to work with someone who had something like this without me maybe tasting it myself. You know, I don't know, but I can imagine that there are now in, you know, probably years to come after I've worked through it myself, there will probably be some gifts to share around the idea of like, what is it to be present in a way that you're very aware of the fact that you do not have forever here? What would you do? What would you not do? What would you say? What would you give up? And what would you like go toward? When we are washing, when we're washing with the idea that everything should look so pretty and this idea, it's we're missing like one of the most beautiful opportunities that really have come. Like if you look at any person that we might honor as having wisdom, they usually have something like this. Like there's been something physically and that's been their gateway. So I worry sometimes, as you said, I worry about it for a lot of different reasons and have experienced it myself as like a plus size lady who wears glasses. Like people don't want anything to do with me in terms of certain things in media, certain things with like I don't look like what people expect. And I'm really happy with how I look because I look how I look. But I just think it's so many reasons it's a bummer. But I also think that like existentially, it robs people of the ability to be honored for their individual walks.
Yes.
And it doesn't allow those voices who, you know, I'm not a disabled person, but I can imagine like the absence of disability in the healing community is an embarrassment in terms of how it is advertised and honored and supported and given visible, you know, access, I think, to folks. And like, that's one example of like how different would things be if that was not considered to be like weird, you know, or like if it was just if people who were of service healing and supporting with who were also disabled, if it was just something that was so clear. Well, of course, they're right up there with the smoothie drinkers and are probably smoothie drinkers themselves. And like, there's just an absence that I think is a shame, because then there's no normalizing of these things that everybody experiences and may go through, you know?
And but I think that's actually kind of where we're at societally, socially.
I think you're right.
Societally, is that the word? With our society. Is, you know, with all these movements and levels of awareness peeling off and coming up to the surface to be addressed. And as we do this, each of us, even as we've been on these paths for however long and we're so woke or whatever we want to say, like there's so many more layers, and each of us gets to continually address that. And this address where we're holding on to these kind of illusions. And I feel like this diagnosis for you has been such a, it just like blasted so many illusions out of the water. It was like, oh wow, like one clean sweep of just so much stuff that doesn't matter.
Yes, so beautiful. And you put that just even more, you put that so much more succinctly, like that really has been what it's done. It's just blasted everything that, you know, and that's part of the beauty of it, very legitimately, not even trying to spiritualize it or whatever, because I know that it's important for some people to not be okay with things. And that, I think that there's like that little button is missing in me sometimes, like, cause I just, whatever I'm handed, I've just, it's part of my nature to be like, okay, like, all right, yeah, what can we do? Uh-huh. How can we begin? How can we begin to really see this as a gift and as a tool? And like, that doesn't mean that I don't allow myself to feel feelings about things, but I am really like, the first place I go is usually to like, can I let myself be okay with it, but also am I willing to consider that it's bringing something? I hear you. It's powerful.
I'm like, this is a subject. So this is funny. I'm just going to share.
Yeah, I want to hear your story.
Oh my God. I'm like, ugh, this is so, I just love how this all showed up today, because ever since like late November, I have just not felt like booking anyone on Dream Freedom Beauty, honestly. I've just been like, I love doing this so much. Like these conversations I get to have with people are just such a gift for me, and I'm even so much more grateful that I can share them and they can mean anything to anyone else, that anyone else can get anything from it. You know, I selfishly do this for me because I need it.
I understand.
But I haven't felt like booking anyone, because I felt like there was a clarity I needed on. It was like I needed to sweep away those places where I was focusing on things that didn't necessarily matter or weren't necessarily going to the heart of the matter. And, you know, I've been meditating and journaling and doing all the things and just calling in that guidance and the answer to, what does this look like? Like, how do I move forward with this thing that is not ended, but is transforming this show and my focus for it? And you showing up here today in this way and bringing this is making it so clear to me that diving into these areas is where I need to go with this show. Diving into talking more about our mortality and about disability and about just not necessarily focusing on that, but on that essence of all of that stuff, all of that, I don't even know what to call it. I mean, the words that come to mind are like the things that get labeled as like ugly or dangerous or dirty, or like, you know, like death is messy and scary, but it's also safe and beautiful and the only guarantee, and digging into that mortality and kind of going around some of these, you know, I'm so over the over-yanging of everything. It's like, I move so slow, and anyone who's ever emailed me knows that. It's like, I take my damn time because I just cannot over-yang anymore. It's, the effects on my body are way too intense, the effects on my emotions. I'm just not wired for it. And so honoring that has been a journey of peeling off the layers and peeling off the layers and peeling off the layers and testing out if it's safe to give a little more space, or will everyone reject me and hate me? You know, like, that's the kind of like dynamic in my head. So I'm just like live broadcasting this about my process here with this show, and just how grateful I am that you've shown up with this. You know, I'm sorry that you had to have an aneurysm.
I feel like I've had it forever, so it's all good.
But I'm grateful that you were willing to bring this experience to the public, because this is the kind of stuff, as you mentioned, that you're like, typically people keep this kind of stuff pretty private because it's intense, because we will be abandoned and rejected by some people, and we will face, you know, other people's judgments about this. And can we stand strong enough in ourselves to just be with ourselves in this kind of space of like, we're mortal, you have an aneurysm, you're going through the shit, you know, like, and you're also finding the silver lining, and just, I'm just verbally blurting out my process here, y'all.
I love it. Well, because this is the beauty of this. I'm going to say this with a completely humble heart. When you asked me to be on this self-care podcast, I didn't even think about canceling, but I was like, well, if I'm really going to be honest, I have to talk about this because this is the only thing that I would know how to talk about right now with regard to my self-care, because it's completely different. And it's now moment to moment.
Yeah.
Because like, you just don't know. Like, there's simply no guarantee. I could have a very difficult day tomorrow. I could have a really difficult day next week. I could have a really tough moment where I have to get down and get really nitty gritty. Mm-hmm. That happens because it's like life, you know? And, and I'm not afraid of that. So I'm willing to do that. I'm used to doing it with trauma. Now I'm doing it with this, which is different. But like, because you were willing and curious to hear more and to go down this path with me, it has opened you up to the clarity that, I mean, if I may, it's very clear from hearing you talk that your podcast is ready to evolve into something different, and you're excited about it and want to and like desire to go deeper. And there's such wisdom to what you just shared. And I hope for anyone listening to this, that rather than being afraid that this might happen to you, to be nourished by the fact that whatever you may go through in this life, that there will be people who will want to hear about it. And if you're not going through anything like this, I encourage you to try to live like you are, because there's no reason to fuck around with anything that you don't want to do. And I didn't understand that until I went through that. Like, I did, but it certainly was not as like cut and dry and black and white and just like, oh, I won't do this for another moment.
Yeah.
Because I just don't know, you know, that, you know, I just simply don't know. You just don't know. So, and I'm not even, it's not even that serious. It's like, not like I'm nowhere near like a place where I could die from this aneurysm right now, but you still don't know. So it's just really powerful to hear your story, because I think this is what happens when just the clarity is really contagious.
Yes.
When we start thinking about like, oh, I don't want to do this. And now here's this person like evolving through this because you're going through death too.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing. Like we're both, like death is so powerful because I'm just observing, like we're both going through our own versions of what it is to go through death and to see the beauty that comes from the other side of it, you know?
Mm. Which, can we just talk all day?
Yeah, I would really love that. I would love that. I wish that we could. This has been so nourishing.
It's so fun. And I love that it is contagious, and that's why we do what we do, I think, you know, and that's why this is going to, I just know it's going to shift and inform the way you are able to hold space for others in all that you offer. And wow, what a blessing for someone to receive your presence from that space and to be open to receiving that possibility in themselves just by being in your presence.
Thank you for saying that. It means so much.
Yeah.
And it's been such an honor to be here with you. I love coming on this podcast, and I'm so excited, and I love this podcast, and I'm so excited to see how and what the different conversations that you'll have this year, like, you know, the depth. I just feel like people are in for such a treat, you know?
Thank you for saying that.
Of course.
Well, before we wrap this up, I just want to ask, is there anything else you want to say or share? Do you feel complete? I just want to make sure that...
I really do feel complete. I sure do. It's beautiful. Thank you.
And, you know, people that are listening, if you made it this far, then definitely check out Lindsay's podcast if you haven't already, if you aren't already obsessed. Hashtag obsessed. Tarot for the Wild Soul. And check her out on Instagram. Wild Soul Healing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wild Soul Healing. Yeah. And you can also look up Lindsay Mack. That'll take you there. And all this will be on the show notes. And, you know, geez, just feel free to get in touch with me and Lindsay, maybe. I don't know if you're open to that, with your responses about this. I'm sure there will be responses. And
I'd love to know.
Yeah.
How people feel. They can totally feel free.
Yeah. And also I want to invite anyone who does this sort of work or carries this medicine of facing these unfaceables, to get in touch with me, and perhaps you can come on the show, because hey, I'm going to call it in. I'm lazy. I don't want to go searching for it. I'm going to call it in.
May it come to you with ease and grace.
That's right. I mean, this answer came, you know, I didn't go forcing it or pushing it. And here you are showing up. And I'm like, cool. I just replayed a few episodes and people dig them. So here we go.
I'll add one more thing that I'm doing, something that I'm... Cool. It's like a teeny little plug, but is that okay?
Oh my God. Plug away. Oh, yeah. Take all the plugging time.
I have two things that are upcoming that I'm very passionate about. So I'm doing something called the Sacred Wheel right now. And the Sacred Wheel is a little subscription service that I'm doing that goes through the wheel of the year through the lens of the tarot. The response has been unbelievable. People have been very excited, very passionate about it. And essentially you can learn more on my website, but very quickly you get two emails per month, one on the 1st and one on the 15th, each one containing ritual, video, audio, medicine, wisdom, exercises, spreads, all that you can do around where we are in the wheel of the year. And it's applicable to both the northern and the southern hemispheres, and it's open so you can join anytime. But I mention it because if you're listening to this podcast before January 15th, you can sign up for the second email of the month and get, we're going to talk about new moon in Capricorn. And if you do not hear this before the 15th, then good for you, because the February 1st email is all about the star. Mm-hmm. And Aquarius and Imbolc, and in the south it would be, in the southern hemisphere it would be different, but all about the Candlemas, and it's just really beautiful. And it is By the way, this is a completely different topic for a completely different day, but it is, I believe, like, ultimately part of why this came to my attention. Because, again, I've been serving, working, channeling, and teaching with this aneurysm, like, my whole career. The only difference is now I know. So it's now just honoring it, like, as an ally and as a friend. But this decision to do Sacred Wheel and to live in alignment with the wheel of the year and with the spiral and with the seasons has really been like a gift that keeps on giving, and there's a lot of power to it. So if people are called, that's great. And also, really quickly, I'm going to be announcing a retreat that I'm going to be doing, my first ever like 6-day long solo retreat in the Sierra Nevadas in California. Ooh, so if people want to go, May 11th.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's like basically at a hot spring, so there'll be time for hot springs, and like there's like, you can literally like go to the mountains, and there's crystals coming out of the ground. It's so beautiful, and it's one of it's a place that's very, very dear to me, and where I've had a lot of intuitive breakthroughs. And it's just basically going to be like learning soul tarot, practicing, bathing naked, and hanging out with nice people. So if you want to do that for 5 days, I'm going to be announcing that probably in about a week.
That's awesome. And I'm just so enchanted by your Sacred Wheel. I'm looking at it online. I had to go do that. And I'm all yes. That's so cool. So people definitely check that out. That's lindsaymack.com. And you can find the link to the Sacred Wheel there. And that's LindsayMack. That's how she spells Lindsay there.
Thank you so much for having me, Natalie. This has been such an honor.
Thanks for saying yes and coming on the show and being flexible to shift into this different gear. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for you.
So grateful for you. This is beautiful. And thanks to everyone who made it this far. God bless you. I'll talk to you. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you for having me.
We'll do this again.
Can't wait.
Thank you so much for listening. And if this episode resonated for you, you can do two things. One, I would request of you that you share it with a friend with whom you think it will also resonate. That would be amazing. And also check out Lindsay Mack's other episode on Dream Freedom Beauty. Just search Lindsay Mack and it will show up for you. And remember that I will be opening the doors to the Self-Care Club community, and if you want to learn about that, hop on the mailing list from either of the podcast websites and you will be notified when the doors open to that online community. And thank you. I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful to do this work, and it's awesome. That's all. You're amazing. Thank you for listening and for being you.